Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to gore, human suffering, mental conditions, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
Scale of 1 to fire, are you hot or not? I'm Andy.
Be sure to trim your palm trees or you might be in a world of trouble. I'm Rick.
How many times is too many times for your baby to light on fire? I'm Adam.
Put down your super glue and yarn and put those pistachios in the fridge. It's time for acid pop. I'm Sean. Hello everyone and welcome back to Acid Pop. Today we're talking about combustion. So, the etymology of spontaneous combustion is Latin spontaneus, meaning of one's own accord.
I gotta imagine the guy named Spontaneus was pretty fun to have around.
You know, right? Just like he was at the top of every list for every party. And then also Latin combustio, meaning to burn up.
Thank you, Harry Potter.
So, yep, to burn up of one's own accord is where spontaneous combustion...
You saw it. It was his choice.
Yep, I chose to do this.
He was asking for it. First, our pop quiz for the day.
I forgot there's quizzes.
Yeah, you should have studied. I warn you every week. First, what is the appliance in your home most likely to explode?
Back in the day, I would have said tube television, but nobody has those.
It's true.
So, let's go with water heater.
That's not a bad guess.
I'm going to say a dryer.
That's what I was thinking too, a dryer.
Two votes for dryer. Ironically, it's the refrigerator.
I was thinking that at first.
Well, you had your chance.
Give me another one.
All right.
What's the refrigerator?
What's the thing in your garden most likely to spontaneously combust?
Garden? Like an appliance or just like an
just
object?
Just something you'd find in your yard.
A pumpkin.
It's the season.
There's a treekin.
Yeah, tree counts.
A palm tree.
Ooh, I thought I said treekin. Yeah. Pile of leaves.
You're pretty close there. It's is a compost pile. Which, when you have a compost pile, what's going on in there is the bacteria is, breaking down stuff, and a byproduct of that is heat. And sometimes it can get carried away if they hit a dry spot. Up it goes.
Oh, hey, bacteria. Whoa.
I think I should get half a point for that.
I agree. 1.5 point.
Pumpkins go in the combustion pile.
Well, only I'll when they're garbage.
I'm going to give another half a point to Rick because palm trees do spontaneously combust in Arizona.
They do.
In the South, which that would probably be the most common if they were more widespread, but not so much.
It's absolutely horrifying the way that they explode.
They actually are pretty common. A lot of people plant palm trees down there. There's three right next to our house that I grew up in, and my dad's always super worried about it and wants to split costs of trimming all the excess fronds off, but they won't do it. So he got at least the one closest to the house cut, but he's always worried about them combusting.
You just need those like automatic fire sprinklers up in each one, like at schools.
Yeah.
What is the most likely nut to spontaneously combust?
Coconuts aren't real nuts, Adam. I see the cog.
I was not.
A nut. Well, I'm going to go with a walnut. It's like a little bomb anyway.
Well, only if you light the fuse, but...
I'll say peanut.
Okay. Can you name a third type of nut?
Oh, I got tons of nuts on standby. Chestnut.
It was pistachios.
Pistachios?
Which I'll get into that a little bit later, but...
Mustachios.
And what is something that you should never put on cotton? Because it will spontaneously combust.
Kerosene.
Yeah, I was going to say a lit match. Yeah. Let's say paint thinner.
It's actually super glue.
Huh. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so when super glue hardens, it actually releases heat. So it gets hotter as it dries. But if you put super glue on a ball of yarn, like it will go up very quickly.
Now I need to see this.
The drying happens in so many different directions at once that it just goes up like nothing.
You're saying if my bomb fuse like gets cut in half, I shouldn't super glue it back together?
Correct, yeah.
If you're using a cotton bomb fuse.
I just imagine a bunch of little kids doing craft projects in kindergarten. All the disasters that happened.
It's like, okay, got your construction paper all out? Okay. But they would generally give kids super glue, so that's probably the only saving grace there.
Yeah, the craft section is right next to the burn ward.
Time to define some terms. What is deflagration?
I kind of know what conflagration is.
That's not too far off the mark, actually.
Oh, it's like conflagration, but you can't hear it.
You'd never hear it coming. Burning down into nothingness? Like ashes?
I don't know.
What? You gotta guess.
That's the rules.
Like the way a candle burns. I don't know.
Okay. No, a deflagration is a subsonic combustion propagating through heat transfer. So it's basically how spontaneous combustion gets started, is just heat builds up until things burst into flames. This is, next one is one of my favorite words. What is stoichiometry?
That's not one of my favorite words.
No?
That wasn't sesquipedalian. I guess it was kind of sesquipedalian, but... Oh, it's, like, heat transfer.
No, that was the last one.
Oh. You said subsonic stuff. I don't know what that means.
It means it's below Sonic.
It's under all the Sonic the Hedgehog stuff.
Let's see. Stoichiometry is, I don't know. The first thing that came to mind is a fire that starts in your throat, but I don't know why.
It's the spontaneous cough drops.
Yes.
I know this one. I've done this in physics classes. I just don't know physics very well.
Okay, learned man.
How much energy it takes to burn up a particular thing or something?
Something good
along
guess.
Those lines.
What you got there, Rick?
How long it takes for something to burn?
Interesting. No. Stoichiometry is basically the balance of things. So if you have like a gas that's going to burn, if there's too little of it, it won't burn. If there's too much of it, it won't burn. So you need just the right amount. So that balancing is called stoichiometry, which comes from a Greek word, stoichion, which means element. It's just like the amount of an element.
That's a much more fun word than element. We should have stuck with stoichion. Yeah.
All right, last term, then I'll let you go. What are aramid fibers?
Aramid fibers are like dust or something else in the air that is highly flammable?
Okay.
That sounds like a good guess. I've never heard of this word before.
Adam, as we all know, the aramids are the pyramids in the clouds.
Those are the inside-out pyramids that go down into the ground.
I like Andy's guess.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll just go with him.
Oh, you all bet on Andy, but he lost.
I did.
Aramid fibers are just heat-resistant synthetic fibers. So that's what they use in like spacesuits and firemen's uniforms and that sort of thing.
Dang, I was going to say that.
I lost a lot of money on this one, Andy.
I'm sorry. I'll pay you back.
It's coming out of your knees.
All right. For the last part of our pop quiz, I'm basically just going to list a thing. Basically, you're just going to rate whether it's more or less combustible than the last thing. You're just going to try and put these things in order. So on my list of eight, number five is wood. So wood spontaneously combusts if you heat it to 572 degrees Fahrenheit or 300 degrees Celsius.
How do they know? Have they tested this on every wood?
Well, it's a range, but I just picked, for all of these, I just picked the bottom number. So the lowest temperature that has been recorded for these things combusting. So what about diesel?
Diesel is less combustible.
So you think it needs to be hotter?
Yes.
To combust?
Yes, okay. I agree too.
All right, Andy?
So do I.
Wrong.
What?
Diesel is 410 degrees, so almost, well, over 150 degrees lower. So 210 degrees Celsius. What about human skin?
My first one was so far off base, I have no idea anymore.
So are we going off of diesel now?
Well, yeah, you can go off of either. So now we've got two marks. We've got diesel and wood. So we can go before diesel, after wood, or in between.
Are we talking about the skin that's on my body right now, or like just dry flakes of skin?
Nope, skin that's on your body. Like, how hot would you have to get before you went up like a candle?
That's got a lot of water in it.
It's true.
I'm going to say we are less combustible than diesel.
What about wood?
I'm going to say less than wood.
Yeah, less than wood as well.
All right.
I'm going to say more because if you hold a match up or like a burning up to your arm, it seems like it will burn faster than wood will.
Yeah. So so what about diesel?
I mean, I will definitely say it's ouch slower than the wood will.
Than wood, but not diesel.
Okay. So Adam and Andy, you got it right. Human skin has a combustion temperature. So again, Rick, this is not the temperature that you would burn at, like if you hold a candle up or a match, but if you just heat something to this amount, this is when it will burst into flames. So for human skin, it's 1,400 degrees Fahrenheit. So
that's right.
Yeah, it's really high up there, 760 degrees Celsius.
Now I'm going to tell everybody I can survive 1,400 degree temperatures.
So what about cotton?
We already know that cotton can't stand up to super glue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's more flammable than wood.
What about diesel?
More than diesel.
I'm going to say it is more flammable than wood, but less flammable than diesel.
Okay.
I'm going to say it's more flammable than wood and less flammable than diesel also.
Adam gets it. It is, so far, the most flammable thing on our list.
Most flammable substance known to man.
It's right up there, 250 degrees Fahrenheit, which is, you know, not very hot, all things considered. 120 degrees Celsius, only 20 degrees hotter than boiling water.
I'm surprised people's clothes aren't bursting into fire more often in Phoenix.
I know, right? What about paper?
Paper is a type of wood. We know.
So, yeah, here's a clue. Think back to grade school when you read Ray Bradbury.
Like I read in grade school.
You did?
Don't remember reading any Bradbury, but...
Okay, but he has a book. Oh.
Yeah, the hell's that book's title?
Oh, it didn't help!
I know! That wasn't grade school. I suppose that is a grade. Yes.
All right. Oh, God. So,
I've forgotten all the temperatures ever. So.
All right. Well, here we go again. Cotton, 250. Diesel, 410. Wood, 570. Human, 1400.
Is it 451?
It's less flammable than diesel, but more flammable than wood.
I'll go with that.
I'm going to say the only thing more flammable than it is cotton.
Oh, wrong. Adam and Andy get it. It was in between.
Forever to remember what Bradbury wrote.
Fahrenheit 451. So yeah, but that was, you know, paper, like most other things, has a bit of a range. The lowest temperature I found was 424 degrees Fahrenheit or 218 Celsius. So you know, I mean, that should give you an idea. Like, paper's not especially hard to catch on fire, and diesel is easier than that. So it's kind of crazy. What about human hair?
That seems pretty easy,
but it can hold up a whole truck.
One single strand.
I've roasted my hair barbecuing pretty easily.
Yeah. Did you have a thermometer on your head at the time?
I'm going to go with more flammable than diesel, but slightly less flammable than cotton.
Well, no. Cotton's the most flammable thing.
Oh. Yeah, I said less flammable than cotton.
Oh, I see. Okay. Gotcha. Sorry.
I'm going to say we put paper in between diesel and wood, right?
Yes.
Right.
I'm going to say more than wood, but less than paper.
Okay.
I'm going to say second most flammable thing that we've talked about so far.
It is actually, says what we've talked about, the second least flammable thing.
Oh, man.
It's right next to human skin, 980 degrees Fahrenheit, 525 degrees Celsius, which is crazy because basically this has come up because people want to know when they're manufacturing curling irons, how hot can they make their curling iron before that person's head bursts into flames.
You probably want to stay well away from that range.
Yeah. So this changes a little bit when you get into things like, hairspray and mousse and things. But, yeah, overall.
I figured it'd be on the low end. I mean, human bodies generally aren't, like, they don't, like, want specific parts to be extra flammable.
Maybe your human body.
Yeah.
Maybe your delicate human frame.
All right, we've only got two more. Can do them both at once. So we've got gasoline and ethanol.
I mean, if I remember right, gas isn't, like, particularly flammable. They wanted something that was more stable to use in cars.
But isn't ethanol like super flammable?
Maybe.
I'll put ethanol under cotton and between. I'll put it between cotton and diesel.
Okay.
And I'm going to put gasoline right below diesel.
I'm going to put gas right below wood.
Okay.
I'm sandwiching all my fuels.
Ethanol. Let's say ethanol is the highest one.
Cotton's the
most flammable.
I thought I said second highest.
Well, Andy was second to cotton, but you're saying even more than cotton.
Well, you said earlier cotton was the second highest, right?
No. It was the highest on the list so far.
Okay. Yeah, let's put it right under cotton.
All right, same as Andy.
Well, I haven't gotten anything right yet, so this is pretty bad.
That's your chance.
But I'm going to put gasoline above diesel and above wood. And then I'm going to put, then just above wood. And then I'm going to put ethanol lower, actually. I'm going to say that it's below diesel.
What about wood?
It's less flammable than wood.
Okay, well, Rick gets a point for ethanol. And Andy and Adam, you basically get the point for gasoline. So gasoline's between...
Basically.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't mention paper, but yeah, it's between diesel and wood.
I can't remember paper. All the flammable things in the world.
Yeah. I'm giving it to you. So yeah, gasoline, 477 degrees Fahrenheit. So it is less flammable than diesel, more stable, which is, yeah, one of the reasons why it's more widely used. And then ethanol is actually 689 degrees Fahrenheit, 365 degrees Celsius. So it's ethanol is significantly less flammable than wood. Which is kind of crazy. You'd imagine it would be pretty up there.
Yeah, now I feel very unsafe with all this wood around.
I know, right?
We're going to have to get rid of
all this cotton
Andy.
Around.
I'm covered in cotton right now. I look like a sheep.
Like, it makes me wonder how hot my dryer gets, you know?
Well, that's why I listed dryer earlier, because I figured, like, all the lint in there would make it very susceptible to flames.
Yeah. All right, so now we're going to talk about some stories of spontaneous combustion. And where else could we start but humans? As we learned from our quiz earlier, the combustion point for human skin is 1400 degrees Fahrenheit, which is pretty dang hot. So there has yet to be a confirmed case of spontaneous human combustion. But there are a lot of cases where, you know, nobody could think of anything else that might have happened, so it's sort of attributed to spontaneous combustion, but never confirmed. So
it's always covered up by the Cotton Council.
Yeah, but I'll start with probably my favorite. There was a baby in India, baby Raul, and poor baby Raul has burst into flames four times in the first three months of his life. The first time when he was just 9 days old. His family would just basically like put him in the crib and then hear some crying, going to check on him, and he's just a little bonfire in there going away. And so they'd rush him to the hospital and they'd get him all bandaged up and things like that and then bring him back home. And then, yeah, shortly after, he'd go up again.
Mother is quoted as saying, "He's the light of my life."
And then a year and a half later, he had a younger brother who also burst into flames.
What is with his family?
I know, right? So to me, this sounds like a superhero origin story. Like, this is how the human
really bad superhero.
Yeah, which would be great, you know, if these babies weren't covered in horrible blisters and scars all the time.
Johnny Storm retired to India to start a family.
Yeah. But the thing is, so these babies, so the first baby four times, the second baby one time.
Getting better.
Getting better, yeah. But they were rushed to the hospital, and like after, you know, the second or third time, the authorities were starting to get a little suspicious. So they basically would keep them in the hospital for months on end, and they never burst into flames in the hospital. So the people were like, "Are you just doing this for attention? Because that's kind of sick if you are, so please stop." But that was a while ago. So since the second brother burst into flames once, no more bursting into flames for that family.
They stopped smoking and drinking brandy above their children.
It took up Parcheesi.
Quit feeding them peanut butter and petroleum jelly sandwiches.
So this is a pretty great story. This is a story of Henry Thomas. So he's a 73-year-old man living in South Wales. And basically, again, no one was around to see this, but they came in after the fact to basically found a pair of arms and a pair of legs sitting in an armchair.
Just kicking back.
Yep. And so what it looked like happened was this guy sat down and the top of his head caught fire and he just burned like a candle down to the seat of his chair. And all that was left was his arms and legs on the edges. And he said, "All that was left was Mr. Thomas was his legs below the knees and his skull. Oddly, his feet were completely unburned, and what was left of his legs was still clothed in socks and trousers, and they were practically untouched by the fire." Yeah, nobody really knows what happened, but this guy just sort of like,
spontaneous combustion is crazy stuff.
His legs got up and walked away.
But this is actually a pretty common thing in these stories, which almost lends a bit of credence to it. Maybe it's just how human bodies burn, but they frequently come in to find, like, from the elbows to the hands and from the knees to the feet are left, and everything in between is gone.
Yeah, very often it's like it looks like intense heat in a very localized spot, and then other things are just left untouched right next to it.
Yeah. So this story, a group of office workers were waiting at a bus stop in 1967 when they looked up at a building and they thought they saw some flames. So they called the police, and the police run into this old broken-down building, and there is a homeless man named Robert Bailey, and he's still burning. And
we should do something.
Yeah, well, they did. The first policeman that arrived on the scene said that there were blue flames exploding out of his abdomen.
Weird.
And that his teeth were biting down on the rail of a staircase. So these flames are, like, coming out of his gut. And so they basically get a hose and they jam it up inside of his stomach cavity and just pump him full of water until he goes out. So, needless to say, he did not live through this experience. But at the time, he was an alcoholic, and so people attributed it to his drinking. Like, they said he drank something so cheap and vile that it blew up in his stomach.
No, all these symptoms are... He ate too much Chipotle the night before.
Now, this next one is probably the closest to somebody witnessing spontaneous human combustion that there is on record, at least. So this is the story of Jeannie Safin. And she was born with a bit of mental difficulties. So her mind never really progressed past that of a child. So she was an older woman at this point. And she was sitting in the kitchen of her father's house in London, and her dad was in the kitchen, and he looked away and looked back, and she was on fire.
A heck of a double take.
Yeah, so she'd just been sitting there. They managed to put her out and rush her to the hospital, but they said that she had flames coming from her mouth, and she was roaring like a dragon.
What?
The dad and the brother said that there was nothing in the kitchen that was anywhere near her. Like, the gas on the stove wasn't on. You know, they checked everything they could do. And she actually ended up dying a few days later due to pneumonia from burns, which I don't even know that was a thing. But
yeah, I can't imagine that pops up too often.
Get pneumonia from anything.
Yeah, but that was the closest anyone ever's caught to seeing someone catch on fire.
Crazy.
Sweet epitaph, though. Here lies Adam Hubbard. He died as he lived, breathing fire and roaring like a dragon.
Pretending he was a monster.
So those are my stories about human beings, at least. But lots of things go up in flames. There was a fire warehouse, or a fire in a warehouse.
Fire warehouse.
It's like, don't go in there.
People need them.
We got to ship all this fire out post-haste. A shipping warehouse in Brooklyn caught on fire, and this fire was so spectacular that it injured 67 firefighters that were trying to put it out. They did manage to put it out, and they tracked down the source, and it turned out that it was a pallet of latex gloves.
Oh, I've heard this story.
Yeah.
It was rubber gloves that just spontaneously burst into flames.
Yeah, and it had actually happened once before, a few days earlier, where a smaller pallet on a dock burst into flames. And so they're like, wow, these gloves are super dangerous. We got to get the word out there. But it didn't get as far as this warehouse that was basically just full of the things. But yeah, apparently there was a, you know, when you, I don't know if you guys ever put on latex gloves, but they have like a sort of powdery.
Yeah.
The powder inside reacted with the latex.
Weird.
So it started to heat up and some of them got hot enough to burst into flames. You know, thing about spontaneous combustion is, you know, you have to get something hot enough one way or another, whether it's, you know, just ambient heat or a chemical reaction or whatever, for something to burst into flames. But once it does, you know, it escalates rapid oxidation,
right,
you know, much faster. So once it's on fire, things around it are much more likely to catch on fire. So yeah, once these boxes started going up, they just kept
going. I mean, imagine if they had shipped out before they burst into flames. Like,
yeah,
I can't imagine a situation where I want rubber gloves catching on fire when I'm working on something.
Yeah, seriously. Like, I heard about this story way back when I think I was in high school, and they said it was surgical latex gloves. And I just was imagining a situation where a surgeon is halfway through, and then all of a sudden, just like, boom, right in the middle of the...
Nurse, can you bring the fire extinguisher?
Just like, oh, well, I was about to cauterize this anyway, so I guess we'll just...
Be a heck of a trick, though.
Yeah. It's like, you almost done with that surgery? Like, yeah, we'll be done in a snap. All right. So I mentioned earlier that the refrigerator is the most likely appliance in your house to burst into flames. And there's a very...
Yeah, we keep eyeing the one here. Nothing's happened yet.
Well, there's a very good reason for it. And it depends on how old your fridge is. If you've got a fridge that's older than 15 years, you're probably less likely to have it
less
explode.
Likely.
Yeah. They used to make refrigerators with a specific gas that, you know, I think it was Freon and
yeah,
there was something else.
Right.
And they were great for refrigerators, but they were really bad for the environment. So there's been this push to use more green-friendly gases in refrigerators so they're more environmentally friendly. So they have in the last 15 years or so. And the two most common gases now are isobutane and propane.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're also very fire-friendly.
Yeah, so they basically say, like, well, it's fine as long as you keep it, you know, all sealed up. But if you get a burst hose in there or something and it gets towards, you know, some of the electronics, which refrigerators happen to have a lot of these days, yeah, it can explode, which is exactly what happened to a man in Kentucky. So
hey,
this guy bought a new fridge and put it in his basement, and he was sitting down there, and then the
just
fridge
looking
just,
at his fridge.
Well, he was sitting on, I think, on a couch across the room, and it just blew up. He said there was no warning.
Huh.
It said it blew the front door off its hinges, shot it at the plaintiff, and it hit him squarely in the chest and head. So maybe he was just standing there staring at his fridge.
This is a great fridge.
I'm glad I bought it.
Best decision of my life.
So it shattered his shoulder, broke his clavicle, and he had four cracked ribs and a concussion from the force of the door. And yeah, that's just one example. But yeah, refrigerators these days, much more likely to blow up. But
I'm glad you only had one example, Sean, because I have a refrigerator.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just don't walk directly in front of it, that's all.
Yeah, never look your refrigerator in the eyes.
So my next couple stories here are really interesting because it seems to be, you know, we've been packing up and shipping things for a long time. And there are certain things that sort of like they sort of got them packed up and sent them out. And then it turned out that they would occasionally explode or burst into flames. And so then they still needed to send those things out. So they just sort of came up with techniques to prevent that from happening. And now that's just kind of the norm. And so people just don't really think about it. So I mentioned earlier that pistachios are the most likely nut to spontaneously combust. And yeah, apparently pistachios are just super, super dangerous. And everyone that works with pistachios is kind of like, oh yeah, you know, there's all these rules about them. Like you can't put too many of them together because the more of them together there are, the more likely they are to explode.
An unruly nut.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they act out, but we just don't pay any attention to them.
Basically, what goes on with these guys is that they can continue to take in oxygen and expel carbon dioxide even after they've been picked.
Huh.
So they are still doing chemical processes.
Breathing.
Yeah. And when they do, they're basically taking water and other chemicals and turning it into fat, which fat is very flammable, and this reaction in them causes them to heat up. They make fat-cleaving enzymes, and they produce fatty acids, and then those are broken down when the nut takes in oxygen and spits out carbon dioxide. And yeah, they will just occasionally hit a temperature that they just go up. And just
occasionally they just had enough.
I just don't allow them in my home anymore. I can't tell you the amount of times I've had a bowl of pistachios on the table, I'll turn around, just a bonfire.
Yeah, just a barrel fire in your kitchen.
So yeah, and another thing like that is grain.
I've heard of stuff like that.
Yeah, it just every once in a while just goes up, and they're just kind of like, oh yeah, this is part of dealing with grain sometimes.
Well, I think a lot of it is like the grain dust and stuff that's in the air.
Yeah, exactly. I have a link that we'll put up on the site of a grain silo or a grain elevator in Kansas that just blew up, and it was just like a crazy fire. People felt the blast up to 3 miles away, and six people died in the fire, and two were injured and sent to the hospital, and then some had minor injuries that didn't send them to the hospital. Sometimes, because again, what happens is like once you mix the grain dust with the air, it has a pretty low combustion point, and sometimes you can get bacteria in the grain.
It's hard not to mix those two things.
Yeah, and it'll mix them up, and then, you know, they heat up, and then if you get too much dust, it just goes up. And it's just crazy to me. Like, this is just, you know, I go to the store and buy flour all the time, and I never think, like, oh, man, it's not like going to the store and buying, you know, a bottle of butane. This
is like, I got some gunpowder and some flour. This is great. John, sometimes you'd think the silo has exploded, but it was really gigantic grasshoppers.
Oh, that has happened.
Yeah, I've got another video of putting super glue on cotton, so we'll put that up, too.
If you collect enough videos of things bursting into flames, you might get put on a watch list.
Yeah, you know, I do worry about that a lot these days, because I search for, like, the most horrible things that can happen with everyday objects. I was like,
India baby fire.
What temperature do babies explode at? How hot do you have to get a sandwich before it blows up in someone's face? Asking for a friend.
Some sort of pistachio terrorist.
If I wanted to cause a warehouse fire, how would I do it?
And would it be covered by my insurance? So that's about it for the stories that I've got. I think it's good that we have Rick here today, because Rick may be the only person here that has actually been on fire.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yeah, I caught on fire when I was in second grade, and it was from an explosion. There was an aerosol can hidden beneath, like, a bunch of diapers that squirrels had got into from the people who camped before.
Oh, squirrels are always stealing diapers and hiding there.
Well, my dad didn't want to pick up all the diapers and stuff because they were all tore up, you know, and he's just like, we're just going to burn it. And little did you know, there was an aerosol can under there, and it blew up. I just remember seeing orange. And then automatically running, and I think I was running towards water, and I heard my mom say, oh my God, he's on fire! And then my dad tackled me, and then sprained his ankle. And I remember that it hurt more when they put the cold water on it than the actual burns, but yeah, it hurt quite a bit. My sister said that there were like three fireballs that blew up from the explosion, and one of them hit me, and that's how I caught on fire.
Huh. Oh, man.
Must have been hilarious if anyone saw it nearby. You know, just ridiculous.
I don't know. I think that might be
diapers flying everywhere.
I think that might be funny in hindsight, but I hope that if I was there, I wouldn't be like, oh, look at that kid on fire.
If it wasn't for this kid on fire, this might be pretty funny.
You'd be surprised how much people laugh when I tell that story. You know, I think it's funny, or, you know, how much crap I got when I went back to school and everyone was like, why did you stop, drop, and roll? Because that's when we were learning that, you know?
I was like, just learned that.
I don't know. I feel more comfortable laughing at it because you're not burned. Like, you're not covered head to toe in burn scars. So, like, if you came up to me, you had, like, no hair and eyebrows, and you looked like Deadpool, I'd be like, oh, that's horrible. But
I mean, even if you were, you'd have to laugh about this kind of stuff.
Andy, it was funny that you mentioned old tube TVs, because my mom actually blew one of those up when she was in college. She had a feather duster, and she was dusting her apartment. And I don't know if you guys remember on those TVs, when you get close to them, they always have a lot of static along the front. And she was dusting the front of the TV, and it was off even. It wasn't even on. And she just like, brush, 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 kaboom! And it just like blasted out. So luckily, she was off to the side, so she didn't get hit by anything. But mostly, she was just super disappointed because she was so poor that she couldn't afford to get a new TV. She just blew up her only form of entertainment.
See, the only reason I mentioned them is because when I was in high school, I took a computer class, and the teacher was constantly saying, okay, so if you ever have to work on any of these monitors, just buy a new one, because they will explode. It's always full of electricity. Huh. And then, like, 2 weeks later, she's like, okay, we're getting all new monitors. Go and take these ones, throw them in the dumpster. If the dumpster catches on fire, come and get me. Like, should we be doing this? She's like, no, we should be recycling them, but we can't afford that.
I mean, we burn the weeds in the backyard, like, every year.
Yeah.
It's pretty run-of-the-mill.
Well, yeah, that's something interesting, though, for those people that don't live in Nevada. Like, if you've never seen a sagebrush catch on fire, it's a pretty amazing thing.
Because they're just begging to go up.
Yeah, it goes from, like, a sphere of twigs to a pile of ash in about 2 seconds.
Well, like, we had that problem this summer where lightning kept on striking the hills that are, like, right across from us. And our hills are two-toned now, black and kind of brownish.
Yeah, like
lightning would strike, and then this hill would just go.
It's not a Nevada summer without at least one major fire nearby.
Yeah,
but it seemed particularly bad this year. Like, there's lots of black patches on the mountains around us.
I actually have another combustion story. Yeah. My barbecue, I have a Big Green Egg, which is a Komodo-style grill, which you just put charcoal in it and light on fire. And every now and then they'll have instructions where they'll say, okay, now close the grill and let turn, you know, so then the fire goes out and you just let the food rest inside.
Yeah.
But if you open it too quickly, sometimes it'll create a backdraft and the flames will shoot out and basically cause an explosion, and I burned all the hair off of my arms doing that a couple times.
Is that
times.
What you were saying about your thing here, Andy?
Maybe. So I learned why we're not supposed to have charcoal grills at my condo complex.
Yeah.
But I didn't know. It was my first time using a charcoal grill. And I read the instructions like, okay, now cover the charcoal and let the grill heat up. I was like, okay. And then after about 20 minutes, I was like, I should go check on this. And I opened it up and went, woof.
This wasn't a combustion story, really, but it is one of the times in my life that I felt I wish that I could be more enthusiastic, I guess, because you listeners probably don't know, but I'm one of the most relaxed people that you'll ever encounter. And I was over at my aunt's house, and it was my aunt, my dad, my cousin, and me, and we're all hanging out in the kitchen. And they had a type of kitchen that had an island in the middle, and the stove was in the island. And my cousin had been getting some paper towels for us for lunch or whatever, and the stove was still on. And so she unrolled this, like, you know, ridiculously long roll of paper towels so that everyone would have one and was starting to rip them off one by one. What she didn't see, though, is the end of her long trail went onto the stove, and the last paper towel caught on fire.
It made a very long, flat fuse.
Exactly. And it was just slowly burning. And so she did it. She didn't notice. And I see it. And I look at my aunt, and I look at my dad, and no one has noticed but me. So I look at my cousin, and I say, hey, your paper towels are on fire. And she says, what? I said, your paper towels, they're on fire. And she goes, huh? And looks at me, I'm like, your paper towel, the over there on the end, it's on fire. And she sort of laughs a little bit. She's like, what? And I finally like, well, this isn't working. Like, three strikes and you're done. So I, like, went over behind her and, like, ripped off the now second paper towel because it was on fire and just carried them over to the sink. And, like, as soon as I started doing that, everyone in the room was like, oh, my God, a fire! And started, like, running around. But by then, I just, like, walked into the sink and set them down and turned on the sink, and it was fine. But I just, like, I mean, it was literally we were all on each of the four corners of this island, and the paper towels were in the middle. So it's just, like, there's literally a fire in the middle of four people, and I seem to be the only person that notices that it's going on. And I couldn't convince anyone else. So
that is the most perfect Sean story in the world. Like, hey, your shit's on fire.
Hey, there's an alligator on your leg. You might want to, bonk it on the head.
No, if there was an alligator on my leg, he would be more more alarmed.
The alligator?
Both.
All right. So now we're going to play What Are Your Morals Worth?
Yeah, but I'm always the worst person.
Well, this time there's no one else but you, so maybe it'll be okay. How much would it cost for someone to light you on fire 20 feet away from a pool? So there's a big old pool, and you're standing there in just your normal clothes, and let's say they spray some hairspray at you and light you up. And you know this is going to happen. It's not a surprise. You've got to get to the pool to jump in.
Am I immediately engulfed in flames, or is it like my arm and it's like moving up my body or something?
Well, they're going to shoot this can right at your chest.
Oh, right at my chest, though.
Can I shave my chest first?
Well, you can wear clothes, but yeah, if it makes you feel more manly.
I need less wind resistance to run to the pool.
Now, this isn't like the 80s. I'm not wearing like a windbreaker that would melt to my skin.
Yeah, don't wear any Freon that day.
My leisure suit.
My beard would catch on fire. That'd be pretty rough.
Yeah, it'd be a good day to shave your face, if nothing else.
No, I guess if I know ahead of time. I always imagine the situation as I'm just standing there and like, hey, I'll pay you, you know. You know, like, it's the situation I'm in, you know.
I'm having a hard time figuring out, like, if my natural body hair, is that like a fire buffer to like keep it from getting to my skin as fast? Or is that just going to like hold the fire to me or catch me on fire faster?
Those are questions for a physicist, I think.
See, I already basically know what this is like.
Yeah,
so I just have to go back and think about it.
20 feet.
But you also know that the panic sets in. So I think the only danger would be, like, you just start running around. You know, like, you're all set up. You're like, I'm going to run to the pool. That's what I'm going to do. And then you just go, oh, my God. Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Well, that's exactly what happened to me. But they said I was running towards the river when I was running.
Well, there you go.
Hopefully my instincts would, you know, it says something there.
See, I'm having a hard time considering whether or not it would be better to have clothes on or be buck naked.
Well, probably a shirt, you know, let that burn first, because it... Oh.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, if they're shooting hairspray at you, if you're not wearing any clothes, you're probably less likely to just catch on fire that way. A little bit.
I mean, but I think also, get a lot of money for this.
I think the burns would be worse, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. The fire would hit you directly, immediately.
I've been a long-time believer that being burned, like, to death is one of the worst ways to go.
Yeah, I agree.
20 feet isn't terribly far, I
no,
think.
No, it's like 8 good strides, and you're there.
Okay.
Like, odds are you're going to be fine. You might get burned a little bit.
Okay.
Some of these things I have to consider whether or not the amount of money will cover my medical bills.
Yeah.
Right.
See, I don't even know if I would need medical attention.
I'll just tough it out.
I mean, when I caught on fire before, I mean, we looked at it, but I didn't go to any hospital or anything for it, and I had blisters on me, but
they just put a Band-Aid on your nose.
Yeah, I imagine it'd be similar, because that's about how far I ran.
Let's see.
I mean, my odds do sound pretty good.
The odds aren't bad, but I do like the pool.
I do want to go swimming.
I would definitely do it for $5,000. I'm just trying to think of whether or not I would go less than that. I might.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like... 10,000 and up, maybe.
Yeah.
No, $5,000 for... If you're not going to be seriously injured, $5,000 sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
But if I needed the money, I'd probably do it for 2,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna say $3,000. I think I'd do it for $3,000. Because, I mean, Well, wait, just hold on a sec. What's my deductible? My insurance deductible, I think, is $2,000. So, yeah, even if I was worst-case scenario, it'd be $2,000 for the deductible, and I'd still have $1,000 left over.
For a second, I thought Sean said he'd do it for free.
I would have to shave my beard first, though, because if with my beard, it would just be ridiculous. Yeah.
And not where you're
cut. How cool that would look if your face wreathed in fire like that.
Yeah, I'm set. I'll do it for $2,000 to $2,500.
I'm going to say $9,000. 9,000.
See, now this is where it gets interesting. So what we could do is pretend that we're all there and see who goes with the lowest amount, so who actually gets to do it.
Yeah.
See, I think I would challenge the 2,000 and be like, I'll do it for $1,900.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bidding war.
Yeah.
who's this man that's we're all at the party and he's like, hey, I got this hairspray and this match.
Who wants some money? I want to light somebody on fire, but I don't want to spend a lot of money.
All right. Well, I think that's it for today.
Thanks to my co-hosts, and thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter at acidpoppodcast and contact us at acidpoppodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.